Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and coming up very shortly, President Obama's news conference on the August 2nd debt ceiling talks, taxes, the solvency of the federal government, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all at stake. And as we wait, let's take a closer look at one of those big ticket items, Medicaid, government health insurance for the poor, and its real impact on patients. A new study of Medicaid patients in Oregon finds that compared to people who applied for a Medicaid lottery but were rejected, those with insurance were 25% more likely to say their health was good or excellent, more likely to see a doctor, more likely to be admitted to a hospital, and less likely to report feeling depressed or have unpaid medical bills. Now, at a time when the conversation about health care and the President's Health Care Act have been turned into partisan arguments about cost and constitutionality, this study brings the focus back to what insurance means for people who have it. It's a rare comprehensive look at the effects of Medicaid. And joining me now to talk about the study is Gina Colata, medical reporter for The New York Times. Hey, Gina, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, thank you, Brian. It's great to be back again.
Write-ups of the study have been calling it definitive. The headline of your story in The Times called it the first study of its kind. Why is it so special?
Well, when people have been arguing for a lot. There's been a lot of arguments about the effects of health insurance. But everything was always based on comparing people who happen to have it to people who happen not to have it. And it turns out, of course, as you can imagine, the people who happen to have insurance are usually different in many ways. Like they're usually better educated, they have more money. There's a lot of differences. And people try to use statistics to compare them, but they can never, you know, try to subtract off the differences. But you can never do that perfectly. The real way to do a study would be to randomly assign some people to have insurance, others not to have insurance, and follow them and see what happens. Of course, that's kind of unethical. But for the first time, there's this like experiment, almost like an experiment of nature, which really allowed people to do this. I mean, it's amazing. Everyone wanted to figure out who should I call to talk about this study, and every leading health economist seemed to be an author. What happened was in Oregon, they had closed closed enrollment to Medicaid because they had run out of money. And then they said, you know what, we think we have enough money, this is in 2008, to put 10,000 people on the rolls. So, of course, 90,000 applied.
Wow.
And they said, well, the only fair way to do this is just to do a lottery. Just randomly choose those 10,000, and the rest of them don't get it.
Wow. It's a scary thought that there could be such short supply of medical care for the poor, medical insurance for the poor,
right,
that only 10 out of 90,000 would be chosen, that it would be done by a lottery. This is America.
Right.
Nevertheless, it creates this unbelievable natural experiment with similar populations on Medicaid and not on Medicaid.
Right,
so,
and they figure there's like a chance of a lifetime to actually do this experiment because it was happening anyway. And so,
right.
So let me
get you right to it because I don't know how much time we have before the president speaks.
Okay.
So what were the most important findings?
You know, the most important, you went through a lot of the important findings. The people who had this health insurance definitely used more health care. And that was kind of up in the air whether they would or not, because some people said, well, doctors don't accept Medicaid people anyway. There's a lot of charity clinics. They just go to emergency rooms. These are people who aren't used to doctors. Maybe you won't see any difference. There's a big difference. Also, when you think, what is insurance for? Insurance really is supposed to be to cushion you from financial catastrophes. And the people who had this insurance were much less likely to not pay other bills in order to pay health bills. They are much less likely to have health bills sent to collection agencies. It helped them. It did what insurance is supposed to do. It prevented them from the financial catastrophe of an unexpected medical problem. So that was actually really important, too. It's something that I hadn't thought about until I saw this study, and I said that makes a big difference. And they, of course, they also had their cholesterol checked more. Women ended up with more mammograms. The other thing that's interesting, though, is this study is continuing. They then took 6,000 of the insured and 6,000 who are not insured, and they went there. They've gone out now, and they've actually done things like measured their blood pressure, measured their cholesterol, measured their blood sugar to see if they have diabetes.
Hmm.
They interviewed them in depth, and those data are now being analyzed. because what they want, what you'd really like to say is, okay, so we had 2 years of this experiment before Oregon found the money to insure everyone again. Would you see a difference in their health outcomes within 2 years? Well, we're going to find out probably in the next year. The first year told you they used a lot more medical care and they were financially cushioned. The second year of the study may show you whether or not it actually made a difference in how healthy they were.
That is so interesting. But as you know, Gina, there have been studies which support how critics analyze Medicaid, and even one recently from the U.S. Government Accountability Office, which found that children on Medicaid have worse access to physicians than those with no insurance. A University of Virginia study looked at surgeries and found that patients with Medicaid were 13% more likely to die in hospital than those with no insurance at all. So does this latest study from Oregon refute any of that?
It kind of trumps it all because it was a study that was done the way a study should be done. And every other study was done in the way that I mentioned before, where you just try to compare populations and try to do statistical corrections for the differences between those who have insurance and those who don't. But that's why it was an open question. Would having Medicaid make a difference? Because there were all these studies that were not done in the most rigorous way for ethical reasons that found that maybe it wouldn't make a difference. Maybe you can't actually get in to see a doctor when you have Medicaid. Or maybe you don't care to because you have to wait so long, you might as well just show up at an emergency room or a charity clinic. So this study actually is the first and only study that ever did anything like this, and probably we may never see a study like this again, actually. People say it's going to be a classic, discussed and debated for years and years and years.
You know, one common criticism of Medicaid is that few physicians accept it. We talked about that on the show recently, and NPR's Julie Rovner spoke to Amy Finkelstein, an economist at MIT and one of the lead authors of this Oregon Medicaid study, and here's what the researcher said about physicians accepting Medicaid.
We see that chance that you've gotten any outpatient care increases by 35% if you have Medicaid relative to if you have none. The chance that they report having a regular office or clinic for their primary care increases by 70%. And the likelihood they report having a particular doctor, you know, a usual doctor that they see, increases by 55%.
So what do those numbers indicate to you? Does it adequately address the concerns about physician access?
It certainly raises questions about whether it's true that so many doctors refuse to accept Medicaid patients that you might as well give up and not, you'll never find one or you'll wait forever for your appointment. It was interesting because I thought the fact that, and she told me the same thing about having a regular doctor. I thought that's interesting because having a regular doctor means you're not just showing up at an emergency room or a charity clinic saying, I have Medicaid, you know, I need to see a doctor. You have a regular doctor or clinic that you go to. The people found somebody who would take them, which shows that it seems to indicate to me there's this huge thirst for medical care among people who are poor and can't afford it, and giving them Medicaid, and this is a Medicaid without copays. Basically, if you got this, these were very poor people, you could just go to a doctor if the doctor would accept you, and they must have found some.
So, once again,
a lot of the data that people have been citing were not based on studies like this because there were no studies.
It's really fascinating. So just before we go to the president's news conference, he has put Medicaid on the table as part of his grand bargain proposal and included in that reportedly $200 to $400 billion in cuts to Medicare and Medicaid providers, as well as a reduction in the federal share of Medicaid spending. And yet, expansion of Medicaid, more people to be on Medicaid, is a big part of Obama's health reform. So how can those two proposals be reconciled?
I don't know. Luckily, I'm not a politician. I'm not sure what to say. I mean, this just shows you the importance of Medicaid and the importance of Medicaid in the lives of poor people. But how everything's going to get paid for and how it's all going to work is sort of beyond my expertise.
All right. Not a political reporter, but New York Times health correspondent Gina Collada on this fascinating kind of natural experiment comparing people in the same populations, the same applicant pool who got Medicaid and who didn't get Medicaid by lottery and their health outcomes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, the President's News Conference in a minute.